You know, for too many of us, reality looks just like that. We live our lives as though Jesus has been stolen. Or maybe we think of him just as this churchy concept, this kind of way out there, but you know, I only really think about him on Sunday mornings, and the rest of the week, I'm kind of on my own. But you know, as we have all our Christmas decorations out, we need to look no further than this manger to see that Jesus is reality. And Jesus is God's way of entering our world and our reality. So often we try to escape from reality this time of year. You know, maybe we are trying to do a little retail therapy and, forget the budget, forget the reality of all that. I'll get what I want or what I think I want. Maybe Christmas is a time which stirs up feelings of loss or loneliness, and we just want to escape it and get away from it all. But when we think of the real reason for Christmas, we think of this manger here, we need to look no further than to see that Jesus Christ is real and God has stepped into our world through him. You can open your Bibles, if you have one with you, to John's Gospel. John is the fourth book of the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, and it tells us the story of Jesus. And it starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. That's his concept, the Word. But then listen to what it says in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory from the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to the reality of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you so much for entering our reality and giving us the Savior that we need. Lord, I pray that we would hear from your word today and that you would minister to each person in this room in the way they need ministering to. You know what everyone needs, and we'll trust you to do this in the name and through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Too often we live our lives like the baby's been stolen. Too often we live our lives like, well, Jesus, you know, I'm on my own the rest of the week. Yeah, I'll talk about him when I'm at my life group. I'll talk about him when we're in church. But, you know, the rest of the week, I'm really on my own. Jesus, he's not that real. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus Christ is real. And because he's real, he can be with us today. You know, it seems very popular every once in a while to put a show on cable TV saying, well, you know, we've discovered this new gospel, and well, it kind of gives a whole different slant on, well, we don't even know if Jesus existed. Well, let me tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ, the human being, lived and walked this earth. All through the Bible, you see words like, we were eyewitnesses to, we heard him, we saw him. John chapter 20 gives the account of Thomas. Thomas, we all know, is doubting Thomas, and he'd been hearing that Jesus, he's going to rise from the dead, but come on, no one really does that. And then some of his buddies come back and tell him, hey, Jesus really rose from the dead. And what does Thomas do? He kind of digs his heel in and says, I'm not believing it till I see it. And right then, right there, Jesus stepped into his reality and said, here I am, Thomas. And Thomas fell on his face before him and said, my Lord and my God, because that's who Jesus is. In 1 Corinthians 15, we see that over 500 people saw Jesus at the same time after his resurrection. The chances of 500 people having the same hallucination at one time are just astronomical. It takes more faith to believe that they were all hallucinating it than that it actually happened. In 1 John, it starts off by saying, hey, we walked with Jesus and we want you to know what it was like to be with him and to experience that fellowship. In 2 Peter, it says, you know, we don't follow some cunningly devised fable or myth. We're talking about reality here. That's what the Bible has to say. The claim of the Bible is that Jesus is real and that everything that is talked about in this book is real. Now, some skeptics will say, yeah, wait a minute. You're just using the Bible to prove the Bible. But, you know, there are many outside references to Jesus Christ. There are several that are listed right here of first century historians, and if you're not into history, you probably never heard of any of these guys, but if you're into history, these were big players. They told the story of the Roman Empire, and they mention someone named Jesus or Christ. So there's reference to Jesus. Jesus walked this earth. He was a real person in flesh and in blood. Christianity is rooted in historical fact. It's rooted in reality. So what does the Bible say about him? What does this mean for us today? Let's look in this passage again in chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. It says this, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, Jesus is God. Scripture is very clear about that. Yes, Jesus is fully human, and he's fully God. It's not an addition, it's a multiplication. 1 + 1, we know equals 2. That's 2 different things. 1 × 1, that's 1. Jesus, fully human, fully God. And in him, God's purpose, power, and presence are available to us. That is amazing. This baby that invaded our world, entered our reality, offers God's purpose and power through him. Verses 6 through 8 in this chapter talk about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist saying, listen, I'm not that person. All I'm doing is pointing to this person. He's talking of Jesus, the true light. In verse 9, says this, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him." This tells us something about Jesus. On the one hand, he is the one who made the world. He owns everything. But he came quietly and humbly. And the people that should have recognized him right off the bat didn't do so. Because Jesus was humble. He was a hero like no hero the world had ever experienced. But he was the hero that we all needed. And he entered the world quietly in a place which historically didn't mean anything, in the back of Nowheresville. But he was born in that manger. The God of the universe enters our reality through the manger. In verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is the essence of Christianity right here. This is why Jesus entered reality. Not just so we would think he's a great person, not just so we think he's a great teacher, or the leader of a movement. He says, you need to know me for who I truly am. He says, to all who did receive him. To receive him is to welcome him. It means to give him the respect and the honor that is due him. You know, if you have company coming over to your house for dinner, when they knock on the door, you invite them in. You make them comfortable. You welcome them. You don't just say, hey, you're on your own. I'm going to do my thing, you do your own thing. You welcome him. Then it says, to those who believed, who trusted, in his name. What does that mean, in his name? You know, today, we more often than not choose names because there might be a family significance, or we just like the sound of a certain name, or maybe some of you look on a website and you go, hey, what are the most 25 most popular names this year, and let's see if I can pick one of it. But in the culture that Jesus came from, the name said something about a person. And you know, when Jesus is announced to the world in the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a child, and we're going to call him Emmanuel. He will be known as Emmanuel, and that means God with us. Jesus is God with us, God entering our reality to be with us through everything, God to walk with us through the pain, the joy, the trials of life. He is God with us. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, he's God. He's the one who made the world. Jesus means God saves. Christ means he is the anointed one, the one whom God has planned from before time began to be the Savior that we all needed. That's who Jesus is. The world may be thinking, God, if I was God, I would come into the world with all kinds of fanfare. I would get a welcoming party arranged for me. I'd have all this going on. But that's not the way God operates. He came into the world quietly. Many people didn't recognize him. But then he says, to all who did welcome him, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, he came to meet our greatest need. Our greatest need is not community. It's not friends. It's not purpose. These are all great things to have, don't get me wrong. But our greatest need is to be right with God. And Jesus came to give us a way to be right with God. And we'll talk more about this later on. That was his mission, the reason he was here. But you see, the way to be right with God has to do with a person. It's not a philosophy. It's not a set of religious rules. It's a person, Jesus Christ, who entered our reality. In verse 14, which we read earlier, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John the Baptist bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. John is saying, this guy that I'm telling you about, he existed before I ever did, even though I'm older than him. Go figure that out. John says, he's God. He's the one you need to worship. For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, I love this phrase, grace upon grace came through Jesus. Grace upon grace, his fullness. Jesus is God. You can't get any fuller than that. That's infinity full. So from his fullness, he offers us not just grace, but grace upon grace. Jesus came to give his people grace upon grace, more than enough, more than what we could ever need. When I think of the imagery of grace upon grace, and you start thinking, wait a minute, how can I get more than just grace? If God says, I'll give you grace, isn't one grace enough? But God says, no, I'm so generous, I'll give you grace upon grace. And the imagery here is of the waves lapping up on a beach. One goes in, it recedes. Another one comes back over and over and over and over. God says, I will give you more than enough. You will have situations come up in your life and you'll say, I don't know how I can deal with this. I can't cope with it. And God says, yes, I can. Yes, you can. I will give you everything you need. And then when the next thing comes your way, I will be right there for you and I will give you my grace again. Grace upon grace is offered through Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses. That was the standard. What God says, listen, you want to be my people? This is how you got to live. And the law sets the standard, really, of perfection, and all of us fall short of that. None of us measure up to God's standard. But grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. The grace is where God says, I will do for you what you could never do for yourself. I will give you the goodness that you couldn't earn by yourself. I will give you that righteousness, that perfection that you can't do. You see, going to church won't get you there. Giving money to the poor won't get you there. There is nothing we can do to earn God's favor. But God says, I will give what is needed, and that's my Son, a Savior. The truth is that Jesus loves us, but he also says you fall short of what you need to be. You need a Savior. You need me. Grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made himself known. God has made himself known to us through Jesus. See, many other religions will say, yeah, we have this God out there and he does it, but you really can't know him. Christianity is different. Because we can say, you want to know what God is like? Just look at Jesus. Because Jesus is God. God chose to show himself to us by entering our reality, and he did it in Jesus Christ. So when you think of this manger, make sure you think of Jesus. He's real. He is with you. He will walk with you through all of life. But when I think of this manger and I think of the reality of Jesus Christ, I think it's very important that you step back and think of a few things. Because Jesus is real, he's not a philosophy, he's not a way of life, because he's a real person, he can keep his promise to be with you. The gospel accounts start with, he is going to be God with us, Emmanuel. Matthew's gospel ends with Jesus telling his followers, I want you to go into the rest of the world, make disciples, tell other people about me and help them to grow in me, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. And he can deliver on that promise because he's a real person. He's not a set of rules. He's not a philosophy. He can keep his promise to be with us. What a comfort that is. No matter what you're going through, our God is with us through Jesus Christ. He understands us. You know, our Savior is not some religious ascetic dude that just stays up on a mountain and really hasn't experienced everyday life. Jesus had people around him die. Jesus had people get sick around him. Jesus was disappointed and let down by people. And Jesus enjoyed laughing with people. Jesus experienced hunger, and he got thirsty. He's a real person, and he knows what it's like to live on this earth and to experience life as we do. In the book of Hebrews, it puts it this way, and this is a great thing for us to remember as we go before God in prayer. We're not talking some impersonal force, but to someone who's experienced life. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No matter what you're going through, you can go to him. You're not going to surprise him with what you're going through. He's not going to look down on you. He'll say, yep, I've been there. Yeah, I know what that feels like. But then he can do more than empathize. He can then give that grace upon grace to us. So we can go boldly to him in prayer saying, you know, Lord, there's no sense in me hiding the way I feel. You can read my mind anyway, so it's kind of silly to hide behind that. And we just say, okay, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Lord, I'm sharing this with you. And he's saying, I know how you feel. I've been there. But I'm going to give you what you need to thrive through it. That's a promise from God. If God says it, we've got to trust him for it. And it's true because we know that Jesus existed in historical reality. This manger says Jesus existed, so everything about him is true. We receive grace upon grace from him. I'd also say because Jesus is real, he can save us. I've talked about this a little bit earlier. Our greatest need is to be right with God. And the trouble is, for all of us as humanity, we fall short of God's standard. None of us are born perfect or good. God's standard to have relationship with him and heaven is your ultimate home is perfection. And none of us measure up for that. That's bad news. But the good news is that God looks at us in our plight and he says, I love you so much that I will step into reality and give you the Savior that you need. And Jesus, though he was like us in every respect, was unlike us in the thing that mattered the most. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong, never had a bad thought. Can you imagine that? Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't owe the death penalty that every one of us owe for our sin. Our sin is us, this innate thing we have in us that just, we want to go away from God and do our own thing. Now, sin isn't necessarily something horrible and immoral by our standards, but sin is us as human beings saying, no thanks, God, I'll do things on my own. And you can dress it up in church clothes, you can look real nice on the outside, but if you're more worried about your reputation and if you're more worried about, well, I just want to impress other people, that's sin. Any way you look at it, we fall short of God's standard. And Jesus entered reality so that we could have a Savior. And what happened on the cross is that Jesus said, to all who will receive me, to all who will believe that I am who I am, Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he died for us, that on that cross he took our sin, our shame, our junk, everything about us that condemns us, he took it on himself and paid the penalty that we could never pay. And then he says, not only will I take all that junk from you, I will give you my righteousness, my perfection, my goodness, so that in the judgment day, when you stand before God Almighty, he will look on me, Christ. The way to be right with God is to recognize that Jesus did what needed to be done, and there is nothing that you can do to add to it. The way to be right with God is to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you, died for your sin, paid that penalty that you could never owe. He rose from the dead to prove that he paid it. And he says, I'm offering you life. Will you believe that I died for you, and are you going to follow me? That's life. Because he's real, he can really save us, and we can live our lives with him. And then to all of us who know Jesus as Savior, because he reached out to the world, because he entered our reality, he expects us to go into the world around us and enter the reality of people all around us. There are people who are suffering, who are hurting. There are people who need to hear about Jesus Christ. And because Jesus stepped into our reality, he expects us to step into others' reality and introduce Jesus to them. Jesus, the real person who is the answer for everything the world needs. He calls us to take him to the world. So you see, Jesus is not just a religious fantasy. He is a living human being. He entered reality so that you could be right with God. He entered reality so that you can introduce others to him. And once you turn to him, because he's real, he will never let you go. He will follow through on all of his promises. In him is light and life, purpose, everything we could need or want from God. He is real. He is with us, and he will give us grace upon grace. This is the Jesus we believe in. This is the Jesus that it's a shame that we forget about him and we let him get stolen from the manger in everyday life. But Jesus is real. Will you see him for who he is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and I thank you that you have given us a Savior in Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we have a Savior who is not just so high up there that he can't relate with us, but we have a Savior who has walked on this earth, who knows what it's like to experience what we are experiencing. Lord, I pray that we would be bold in going to our Savior, not ashamed to hide anything, but calling on him for grace upon grace. Lord, if there's anyone here in this room who doesn't yet know Jesus as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they place their faith in him. Lord, I thank you that we don't follow religious myths, we don't follow a set of rules, but we follow a living person, and we want him to get the honor and the glory for everything. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Please.